Hello everyone and welcome to the Pet Accountant Podcast with me, your host, Vicky Clark. I'm going to help you get to grips with your finances, save you lots of money and take the stress out of doing your tax return. So let's get going.
Welcome everyone to this week's rather disjointed live from the Technical Abilities and the Pet Accountant. If you are new to the group, my name is Vicky, as it says there. And this lovely handsome man is Lee, and we run the Pet Accountant. We are an accountancy firm. We do bookkeeping, we do tax returns, we do everything. Just for those who aren't aware, because someone did ask for recommendations on a bookkeeper, obviously we're only going to recommend ourselves. So if you do need help with us, let us know. This week is going to be on tax return pitfalls. So basically I'm going to try and give you a few hints and tips of what you should be looking out for, what to avoid. And if this works, it'll be a bloody miracle. So, now Lee's playing with the background just to put me off. But just before we get into the nitty gritty of, if you see where I'm looking, oh, right, you made me zoom. Can you unzoom me, please, immediately? You're getting ridiculous now. This is what happens when
give yourself some space between that camera.
Turn it down.
Roll yourself back.
Turn it down again, please. This is what happens when Lee gets a new toy. I don't want to. Can you minimise me?
It looks better on Facebook Live.
The new toy is
much better.
Worst. Anyway,
see all the bits on your top.
I know. I'm covered in fluff, which is why I love just to sit like this. Right. One thing we did want to just to mention that came up yesterday in another Facebook group, which I'm not mentioning. I'm not going to mention any names, but basically. Someone put on there, I'm basically, in a nutshell, I'm getting a mortgage and I do want to put all my expenses through so that it makes my profit look bigger so that I can get a bigger mortgage. In a nutshell, that is illegal and you can't do it. It's fraud. It's bad. On a big scale, bad. So Lee basically put a massive spiel in there about how it's fraud, you could go to jail, da-da-da-da-da. And someone... Well, basically, everyone ignored it. And then someone replied, I did this last year. Now, I have issues with that because that person has now opened themselves up to a whole load of pain because you've almost just admitted on a Facebook site that you've committed fraud. So my advice for anyone in this group is please don't do that. Please don't write on a, I know it's a private forum, but there's thousands of people in there that you've openly committed fraud and someone has said you're committing fraud. It's illegal. You could go to jail because it just takes one person who's a bit of a bint in that group to screenshot that and send it to HMRC and be like, oh, by the way, this person's been fiddling their figures for their mortgage. So please, 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 my first tip is do not admit to anything on social media because it just takes one person to be nasty to say, well, actually, I'm going to send this to HMRC. And obviously, don't commit fraud would be my big tip. You know, we know that people do it. We know that people take cash in hand. You know, you're never going to be able to eradicate it, but you don't want to be posting it on social media. Because like I say, anyone can screenshot that and send it to HMRC and the person's just had it. Lee's fiddling with stuff on this now because I can see it changing every 2 minutes. It's really annoying me.
I'm trying to make it on brand.
Stop it. So that is my first tip, is don't admit to anything on social media. Don't leave yourself open for someone jobbing you in and please don't fiddle any figures. You know, if people send us emails going, oh, I need this, I need my mortgage to be this, and I just ignore it. I'm looking at your figures. I ain't going to be deleting anything, and I ain't adding anything. So just please don't say anything. Don't tell anyone. Don't put it on social media. And
don't do it.
So do it. Don't be doing it. So that's tax tip number one. Don't commit fraud.
It actually ties in with this week's topic.
It does, tax return pitfalls. Admitting fraud on social media. So, yes, I just wanted to say that to everyone who's in this group. Please, please, please just bear in mind what you're saying online because anyone can pick it up. And you don't know who's in the group. Let's hope there isn't an HMRC person in the group. Who knows?
That's it.
Anyway, so this week's topic, which hopefully will be put in the podcast if Lee can work out how to record it.
No.
She can't at the minute. So we'll have to maybe just work that out in a later date somehow. It's on tax return pitfalls. So obviously we understand that a lot of people do their own tax returns for various reasons. Being maybe they don't want an accountant, they can't afford an accountant, don't think they need an accountant, think it's easy, blah, blah, blah. So we thought we'd just give you some of our tips to help you if you are doing it yourself for whatever reason. So I, because I wasn't prepared, had a list. Lee, not so prepared, has a mental list. As you know, it's April and it's manic here. We've got obviously loads of tax returns to do, so but we're still trying to make time for the group to help you out. So I'm going to start off with my first one on my list, and we'll see what Lee gets. He's probably like, that's wrong. Right, the first thing you need to look out for, and especially if you're using software, is your accounting dates. Because a lot of people, not so much when you're on spreadsheets, although you can put the wrong date, put the wrong accounting date on their tax return or their software. So please, please, please be mindful of the dates that you're putting in, because they should be, as Lee's previously said, from the 6th of April to the following 5th of April, or from the 1st of April to the 31st of March. So please be wary when you're doing your accounting dates that you get those right, because it'll fluff it up if you put the wrong date in.
They have to follow on each year as well, so you can't randomly tick different dates. So your first year in business is really important. And if you started in June, you wouldn't run from June to June the next year. You'd run from June up to either the 31st of March or the 5th of April. And then, so your first year is going to be a short year, but then in next year's dates, it will then pick up from either the 1st of April if you end on the 31st of March, or the 6th of April if you're ending on the 5th of April. So that then it's over the 12-month period. So those are really important when you're filling your tax return. And it's important because it means that you could pay twice as much tax on the same period that you've done previously. So those dates are really, really important for HMRC side.
Fabulous. Your turn.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my pitfalls mainly lie around expenses that people try to put through that aren't really allowable expenses. And what we get is we get a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of filled in forms with these items listed down, and clients then query why there's a difference between the figures that we worked out on the expenses and the expenses that they've worked out. Now, one of those is personal pensions. So your pensions isn't, if you're a sole trader or a partnership, your pension contributions is not an allowable business expense that you can offset against your profits from your self-employed side. Now, what they do is if you're a higher rate taxpayer, so you're in the 40% bracket, including your pension contributions in your tax return, but not on your expenses section, will give you additional tax relief, but only if you're a higher rate taxpayer. So if you're a lower rate taxpayer, you really don't need to worry about the pension contributions because they're not going to do anything to the tax that you're paying. But the one thing that they're not is an allowable expense. They're not part of your figures for your sole trade or partnership, and therefore they shouldn't go in that section whatsoever. So that's a key one, because obviously pension contributions can be quite large. And if you've paid, you know, £1,000 a month in every month, that's 12 grand a year. That's an awful lot of tax that you're going to have to pay, and certainly pay back if you have included it by accident. So no pension contributions as a sole trader or partnership in the section where you're working out your taxable income from your sole trade side.
And that's the same when you're on software, because we get a lot of people that put their pension payments in, which we then have to go in and change them to drawings because, like Lee said, they aren't allowable. And another thing to group in that section, which we find a lot, is your payments to HMRC are also not an expense. So we find a lot of people include their previous year's payments or their payments on account as an expense. Please don't include those because it's not. So don't put those in. As well as income protection and things like that. Massages, which I know is, you know, debatable with the old massages and the chiropractors and the gym memberships and healthcare memberships, all that sort of stuff you cannot put in.
We get a lot of questions with regards to the chiropractor side of things, and massages as well is another one. And people ask us, well, why? I wouldn't have to have a massage if I wasn't picking up dogs every day and putting them in a bath. And the honest answer is that the injury that's being caused, the pain in your back, is your personal pain. And whilst that sounds very harsh, from a business perspective, it doesn't come into the earnings of the business, and it's not really a business expense for you to go and have a massage to make your back feel better in terms of an allowable expense from HMRC. And I guess Abby's a good one for this, because the way that Abby looks at her approach to expenses is, as an employer, as an employer, would you be willing to pay for those costs for an employee? And a lot of that then comes down to, well, no, it's up to them to go and sort out their own medical conditions. And you've got to think that medical conditions are something that's personal. It's not related to the business. Yes, the business task may exaggerate those things that you're feeling, but it's your personal body that's got the issue, not the business. And that's where it comes into play. Now, if you had an accident at work, there has been successful cases where a person has argued to HMRC that it should be allowable because it happened at work and it prevented me from working. And by having it, it was to do with a stunt rider on a bike, basically, and they come off the bike. They had an accident whilst performing a stunt and it required reconstructive surgery. They could have waited to have that done on the NHS, but they argued successfully that by going private, it allowed them to get back to work sooner, and therefore should be an allowable business expense because the accident was a direct result of something that happened at work. Now, wear and tear of your back, unfortunately, isn't something that happens from one instance at work. It's built up over time because of the way that the body is moving. So it's very difficult to argue that you'd need a chiropractor, and that would be an ongoing treatment, whereas the reconstructive surgery for this person that was on a bike could be directly apportioned to something that happened at work. And by having it put through the business and claims through the business as an expense to get him back to work quicker, it then allowed him to carry on with his earnings and to prevent losses going forward. So that was a successful claim. But there are many, many other claims out there with regards to medical expenses that just simply aren't allowed.
But then, just playing devil's advocate, let's just say you're a dog groomer and you're grooming a pretty Great Dane or something. And, message come out. How did that work?
Yeah, so this software is, I'm actually really liking this software.
So hang on a minute, let me ask my question. Playing devil's advocate, say you're grooming a Great Dane and the Great Dane jumps on you and you fall over and you twist your back. And then from that point, you've got a really sore back, so you need to go and get a massage or whatever to try and fix it. Could you claim that because it's a direct result of the dog jumping on you and you've twisted as they've jumped on you?
I would most likely say no to that. I would have said if the Great Dane bit you and you had to have reconstructive surgery around the face, for argument's sake, it's much easier to apportion that specific accident to the injuries that you have, and then you have an opportunity to argue the case for why you should be able to go private rather than through the NHS to have the facial reconstructive surgery. So
what you're saying is you couldn't prove that your sore back was due to the fact the dog jumped.
Yeah.
That's just an arse. They need to change that, really. It's ridiculous.
But then it's where does that line get drawn?
Well, it's supposed to constitute it up.
Mm. Yeah. And really, we get that people in this industry are doing things day in, day out that will cause injuries. It's nature of the work that you're doing. I think that's part of HMRC's argument as well, is that, people that work in offices aren't picking up heavy boxes day in, day out, whereas somebody in a warehouse might be. And if they get a bad back, why would that be an allowable expense? Because it's the nature of the job that they're doing and the inherent risks of doing that job.
Oh, well, I tried, guys. I tried. And look how the question, does the question go away? Do you click on it once you've answered it, or does it stay there?
Yes, I can remove it once we've answered the question.
Jackie, if it's in there, we would remove it anyway. So you can put it in, not put it in. It doesn't really make any difference, because if we know it's an HMRC payment, we would just take it out anyway.
But you, if you know that it shouldn't be claimed, it is easy just not to put them in there.
Yeah. But don't worry if you have previously, because we would have taken it out, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, that's fancy then. So someone asked the question, but are they asking it on the page, not on the group, I assume?
This
not
like
shows up on the group.
Yes, so it looks like it's coming directly through from our Facebook page, this one. It's so it's a bit of a shame that we can't have it so that when people comment in the group, but we are monitoring those on the phone. But if the questions are asked directly through our Facebook page, where this is live also, then we can display it on the screen.
Oh, there we go. So no rudeness, everyone, because it's going to pop up on the screen with your name.
I can't control them.
I am committing fraud. Jackie. Right. Fabulous.
It wasn't Jackie. That was just a random bit of a name.
Jackie. Just because Jackie was on before. Just disclaimer, there was no fraud committed by Jackie.
Lawsuit.
Yeah. My next one, we will work out how to get this in the group at some point by next week, so it'll be much smoother. My next one is, and you mentioned it last year, which I wasn't aware of in fairness, is don't change your answers in your tax return. Because it flags. So if you've put, like, some people I know just put their expenses as one total figure and then their income as one total figure. If you get to the end of the tax return and go, oh, my tax looks a bit big, let me just go back. Oh, hang on, I found that extra expense in my pocket. Let me just change that box again. And then you go back and then you do it again, it's going to flag every time you do it. So even if you're doing it innocently, because you might have missed something, just be very wary that it'll flag.
The more you do it, and they have all of your answers. So even if you change it, they know what you've put in previously. So if you then go back and increasing those figures slightly to get that tax bill down, it doesn't look very favourable, they know all the answers that you've included. So just be mindful of changing answers. And, you know, people do go in and stage them so that they do it in sections. That's absolutely fine. But what usually happens is that the flags are, you put all your figures in, you go and check the tax bill, don't like the tax bill, go back in, lower them slightly or increase them, come back out, look at the tax bill, don't like it still, go back in. And that's something that HMRC can see, and they can see all your answers. So just be very, very mindful of manipulating figures.
Yes. And which ties in with that, we always suggest that you don't just put a bulk figure in for expenses. Yeah. Otherwise, you can split them out into the categories. So we would advise that you do that, because it's less likely that they're going to look if they can see the split rather than you just dumping in 20 grand's worth of expenses into one box. I know it's more time consuming, but we always split it out.
Bulk your figures like that. So if we ever do your tax returns for you, we will always split those figures out into the individual boxes, which is why when you get the set of accounts from us, some people ask, well, where's my tax figure? Because they don't realize what we've produced to start with is the set of accounts. And those set of accounts kind of have the group that we're going to be filling those figures in on your tax return. And they will marry up with what we transfer into the tax return for you. So you guys kind of approve your accounts to start with. You're saying those figures that I've given you and that you've extracted and you've manipulated and included all my expenses and allowable, like use of home and things along those lines, are approved. We don't change any of those figures. We then transfer those figures into the tax return. And then we go through the sections of the tax return, adding in your annual investment allowance, which is things like when you buy vans and assets. And that's the bit at which we're manipulating your tax bill based on the allowances that we can claim. So it's a two-part thing that we do when we do your self-assessment. So the first part is maximizing your expenses to get your profit as low as possible. And then the second part is manipulating the tax bill, utilizing the tax allowances that we're aware of that's applicable to your situation to get the physical tax bill down.
My goodness. And if you've got any questions, because I know there's quite a few people watching, please put them in. Lee will only allow them to flag up. Don't worry. It won't automatically flag. Ooh, oh, Jack. Jack, what car's that? Boy racing his photo. I had to go into the tax office for an interview because I changed my figures.
There we go.
It's you know, probably worse than the police knocking up on your door than it would be HMRC knocking on the door. I think I'd rather the police knock on my door than HMRC, in fairness. I currently do my tax returns. I ceased training in September. Do I put the date in for the date my account's made up to? So you need to, you do need to put your end date in. There'll be a bit on the tax return that says, did you cease training before, does it say the 5th of April 2024 or whatever? And then you just tick the box and put the date in that you stopped. Carly, hello. I mean, I'm loving this. It's much better, but I don't know. Honda Civic. I don't know if this is better than being in the group or not, or whether it's better being on the page. Who knows? Anyway, my next one I've got on my list.
I'm actually above my list.
You haven't got one. Is make sure you add everything onto that tax return. Even we have people that miss stuff off. So when I say everything, I mean all your employed work, all of your self-employed work, student loans, benefits, just any
benefits, because some of them don't go on.
Yeah, some of them don't go on, but you can Google it, and actually that's quite easy. If you just Google, is universal credit, does that need to go on my tax return? And it'll tell you it doesn't. So just make sure that everything goes on your tax return, all of the money, because HMRC know. So if you miss it off, they'll just send you a letter in the post saying, oh, by the way, we've recalculated your tax bill and now it's this. Which, oddly, I had one in the post the other day. So I'm not sure why I've got one, but I'll have a look at that. So just
savings
make sure
interest
that you add
is the other one.
Savings interest. Any money that you get must go on that tax return. So please be wary of the add it all in, because I know some people aren't aware that they need to put that in. So just add that all in. I've got another one by listen, not waiting till January. Please, please, please get your tax return done now, and then at least you've got between now until January to pay your tax bill like me. Like, get it done now, and then if it's £1,000, if it's £5,000, you've got until January to save up that money and then pay it in January. Just because you submit it now doesn't mean you have to pay it now. And a lot of people still leave it till January and then panic because they've got an £8,000 tax bill that they have to pay within like 20 days. So please, honestly, get it and dusted out the way. Set a reminder on your phone when you dial me to say pay a tax bill before the 31st, and then just get it out the way. At least you know there what it is that you need to pay, because you will get, on some occasions, payments on account, which surprised people. If you did your first year grooming, and you made nothing because of all your expenses, and then year two you made £50,000, which has happened, all of a sudden you've saved for what your tax will be on £50,000, but what you don't realise is they're going to slap another half on for next year's tax bill. So that could be £7,500 you end up paying. So please, please, please get it in early. Save some money throughout the year for your tax, even if it's £50 a month, it's better than nothing. And then get it done early, and then you can plan how much you need to save by the time it gets to the 31st of January. Because, again, we get so many people that leave it till January, and then it's they're stressed, I'm stressed, Lee's stressed. We panic for you. We're just like, oh, my God, you know, and we almost feel bad giving people in January, oh, here's your £25,000 tax bill that I gave to the day.
One of the things as well with regards to those payment on accounts is we see a lot of people asking questions in our group, in other people's groups as well, about do I have to pay them? And the responses that people get back is, well, just reduce them down to zero, or don't reduce them down to wherever you want. Because HMRC does allow you to reduce your payments on account through your own government gateway. Now, the only warning we would say is if you are going to reduce your payment on account, the only reason we would do that for you is if we knew your tax bill was going to be lower the following year. Because if it's not lower and it's the same or more than this year, HMRC will apply interest on the amount that you should have paid from the point at which you should have paid it. So actually you could have an extra couple of £100 tax bill because you reduced your payment on account and you shouldn't have. So please, please don't just go in and reduce it to make the January.
And there's so many people at other groups that I say, no, just do it. Even though I put in there, please don't, unless you've got a specific reason. People just ignore us as usual. And just go ahead and do it. And it's like, please don't, because it's going to cost you more money. Like I said, if you're closing your business, and fair enough, or you're going to go on maternity leave, or you're going to go on a career break or whatever, then obviously you're not going to have the same amount of income. But if it's going to stay the same or be more, you're just going to have to suck it up and pay it. Because like Lee said, you'll end up paying more in the long run, and then you start getting the letters in, and then it gets stressful. And then, like a lot of people, they think, oh God, and then it just gets shoved to the back of the drawer. This is why we do these things, is to highlight these issues so that hopefully you don't listen to those other people on Facebook that tell you to do it and listen to us or another accountant. I don't know. that was all the ones I had. My biggest one of the day is do not commit fraud. That is the highlight. I honestly couldn't believe what I saw yesterday. I genuinely couldn't believe it. Yeah, I texted Lee and I was like, I have no words. Like, please don't openly admit that you committed fraud online. Like, it's horrific. Just please don't do it. I don't want to see any members get arrested. I don't want to see anyone at the same watch.
I understand why people would answer the question or ask the question to understand if it's allowed.
Some people genuinely don't know. They don't know. They don't know that you can't do it.
But those then commenting saying that they've done it or they have friends that have done it, it doesn't make it right. There's the ethical obligations under there of whether or not it should be being done to start with. But you are openly admitting that you're either aware of fraud or you've conducted fraud yourself. So I would probably say if you see those type of questions, maybe not comment on them. But if you can answer and generally provide insight and say, look, you know, it's not right, it shouldn't be done because of X, Y, and Z, then absolutely. But maybe just be mindful about what you're putting in the public domain that anybody could use and report.
It's Marcy everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, there's some horrible people in the world that might see that and go, ha-ha, and screenshot it and send it in. So, you know, I know I'm harping on about it, but I genuinely couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, limited company saving for tax bill, best place to keep money separate from the business current account.
So it needs to be in a savings account or another current account, but it must be in the business name. So it has to be in the limited company. If you take it out and put it into a personal one, it's classed as your director's loan account, which could push you over. If it's more than £10,000, then you've got additional tax reporting obligations. So to avoid any of those issues, make sure it's a savings account in the limited company name, and then you can just transfer it backwards and forwards.
Thank you, Jack. I love this little poppy-up thing. If we can just work out how to A, get it in the group, and B, record it, we're happy days. But hopefully,
I can record it, I just have to pay some money to upgrade the subscription.
Right, well, somehow we might try and get the audio from this to put it in the podcast, because I think this is quite a valuable live that we've done. We will try. I know Charlotte has some software somewhere that does it, so maybe we'll have to invest in that as well to claw out the audio. I'm afraid I'm going to have to go because I promised another person's group that I would go in and do a little bit of a chat-out about being self-employed. And Lee's probably too scared to do it on his own, so but he's like, oh yeah, let me check my diary. But no, hopefully next week will be a lot smoother. Sorry for the slight delay in getting to you. Obviously we just forgot that Zoom was cancelling access. So if you do have a Facebook group that you do lives in, then just double check, because they're stopping it for some reason. I don't know whether StreamYard are owned by Facebook. I don't know.
They are.
Zoom are going to lose a lot of money because everyone's going to go away from Zoom like we are. But cancel.
To be fair, I much prefer this.
And he was a hater when I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Wasn't susceptible to it. Now look at him changing fonts, colours.
Changing colours.
No. Making me like zing, see all the fluff in my jumper that was hoping to hide. Frank's fast asleep on the floor, so happy days. Right. I will love you and leave you guys. Thank you very much for your contributions. There's lots of you watching today. we might do a part two of this because I feel like we could probably go on and on. So we may do a part two of this next week so we can record it. If not, we'll probably have just as an excitable topic next week. But we have got one every week now for the next 26 weeks planned.
Yes.
So there's going to be lots of helpful stuff. As always, give us a shout if you need us. The number's in the banner, the email address is in the banner. We do all sorts for your council, traders, limited companies, partnerships, bookkeeping, payroll, you name it, we've got it. So if you do need help, don't struggle, just shout out. It's not as expensive as you might think. If you want to make a quick inquiry, that's absolutely fine. And yeah, have fun. Make lots of have lots of fun, make lots of money, keep your receipts, and we will see you next week for lots more entertainment. And Lee, hopefully, will play around with it by then and it'll look good. But yes, thanks, guys. Have a good week. And oh, look, he's got the number going along the bottom. Very snazzy. And if you need any technical help, we have technical support here called Lee Thomas. So there we go. But yes, have a good one, guys. Make lots of money. And we'll catch up with you same time next week. Hopefully, with a better and more improved system. Anyway,
thank you very much.
Nice one. Cheers, guys.
A very quick one. I'll let Mickey go. Carly, I will get Adam to touch base with you, so he'll be in touch very shortly. And there was another very quick one in there. It was Sandy. Sandy, I will also get one of the team to reach out to you as well with regards to your question with the spreadsheet. But thank you very much for joining us all this week. We shall see you next week. Hopefully, a little bit less rushed and a little bit more on top of this software. Thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed my podcast, don't forget to subscribe for me. And if you want to speak to me, please visit my website at www.petaccountant.co.uk. And if you'd like to join my Facebook group, which is full of like-minded pet professionals, then search Accounting for Pet Professionals in Facebook, and I will see you there.